What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Hi, it's Dan.
Josie.
And it's Rose.
And this is What's the Tea, here with B-Trans Support and Community, a peer support service led by trans people for trans people right here in Newcastle. And today we're going to be talking about what not to do in terms of allyship for trans people.
So do you want to start off with the first one then?
Oh, me? Yeah. So I would say, like, kind of, I've got quite a few examples here. The one main thing that I would get is people ask about body parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
A bit too soon. But like,
well,
yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that does actually happen quite a bit from literally seemingly anybody
strangers.
You know,
yeah.
No matter what relationship they have to you in life, no matter how close you are to them, everybody seems to want to know what body parts you have, what you want to have, when you plan on changing, if you plan on changing.
Literally.
And
when
all of these questions are just...
When I came out at my last job, one of my co-workers immediately was like, so are you having the surgery?
The surgery.
And I'm like, I am just not going to answer this question. I'm going to walk away.
Yes. So
I'd have kicked off big styles, mate.
No, it was like my first week there as well.
Oh,
that's awful.
Goodness.
I think what it really boils down to with that is, would you go around to, would you ask your grandmother how her situation is downstairs?
Yeah, a little between me down there.
Would you ask your father how large he is? That kind of thing. No, you wouldn't. So I don't understand how it comes across immediately as soon as somebody comes out as trans that that's acceptable
it's
to ask.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Because it's very much our bodies.
I don't often look at people in the street and think, what do they have going on?
Exactly. It's a very strange thought process, I feel.
It's really uncomfortable as well.
Exceptionally uncomfortable because it's your body.
Yeah.
Something that's very private to you, not to mention something that as trans people we can potentially be rather dysphoric about.
Mm. It's a bit of a tender subject sometimes.
Yes, it is a tender subject. So it's very insensitive to ask that, I feel. But that's probably the most asked question.
Yeah, like I'll get like messages online of people being like,
everybody wants to know.
And it'll be people
so
who I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very odd when you get it from like parents.
Mm.
It's none of your business, you know?
Yeah. I think I can kind of understand a little bit more in terms of they might be like, what's my child planning on kind of doing? In terms of like support that I might need to give as a parent. But even then, I don't think it's
necessary.
Yeah, you can just kind of wait for the other person to kind of give over that information. I feel like if people are comfortable talking about stuff, they're going to talk about
it. It's very
like,
much a case of if it is relevant, then it will be brought up to you.
Yeah.
And if it isn't brought up to you, then don't ask.
It's probably not relevant.
Don't ask.
That's private information.
So weird. The next one is people asking about your dead name.
Yeah, I put this down because I've had people like ask me what my dead name is. And I found that to be quite
That is incredibly strange.
Yeah.
That is incredibly strange. And to just explain, a dead name is the term used to what we were called before we came out.
Yeah, previous names.
What we were given at birth as a name. So asking a trans person who's gone out of their way to alter that name and...
What was your last name?
Yeah. to ask about a dead name, that's another very personal, very strange thing to ask about because it's something that we're very sensitive over. We want to be affirmed in our new genders.
Yeah.
And a name that matches that is something that can be very, very important. And a lot of the time, especially early on in a transition, possibly the only thing you really have to go on
is like name and pronouns.
Yeah. So asking about dead name or something like that, it's you'll end yourself in an awkward situation.
Yeah. Like I know kind of some people are kind of willing to share that information. But again, it's just the kind of thing where, like, if people are comfortable sharing it, then you'll probably already know.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, not
people are
going
to talk about it if they want to talk about it. And then if they don't, they won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of thing. It is just a very... It's quite nosy, I think.
Yeah, it's exceptionally nosy.
I think the only time someone's asked me for my dead name, I've given them a random name.
Really?
Yeah.
I've just said I don't share that information.
Oh, no.
I shut down the conversation immediately.
I tell them in a very sarcastic tone, just a random name.
Engelbert
Humperdinck?
Yeah.
No, I think I told them like my name was like Bill or Bob or something.
Just
to get them to get away from me.
Every time somebody asks me, I'm just going to name the current Prime Minister.
Honestly, that's so real.
Yeah, I say current because that changes.
Yeah.
Quite frequently.
You should put like a Prime Minister from like 20 years ago.
Ed Balls.
Yeah.
Right.
That's your dead name now.
Yeah,
ask me about it.
Yeah,
I think I've only ever really had the issue kind of online.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've only ever had people in person ask me that. Like, I've been at jobs where like coworkers have been like, "Oh, so what was your name before?" And they've asked it like a bit too excitedly. Like, they were quite like, do you know like when you're like chatting with your friend about like a bit of kind of like hot juicy ass.
Oh, right, yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, what's going on? Like that kind of like that kind of intonation as well. And I'm like, oh my God.
I think largely for a lot of cisgender people, meeting a trans person will probably be that person's first trans person that they've met.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
A lot of the time. That,
really,
like,
do you think?
The first time will be
for a lot of people.
There are a lot of cis people in the world.
Is there?
There is.
Roughly somewhere close to 8 billion.
Oh.
So,
that's a lot. So the next one, don't share somebody's trans status without their permission. So basically, like...
Yeah.
This is outing.
Yeah.
Out someone, so yeah. Like, if you're, say, you know, I'm speaking to somebody about you, I wouldn't necessarily go... Like, without your permission, I wouldn't necessarily go to them, this is my girlfriend, or by the way, she's trans.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or, like, my trans girlfriend, my trans best friend.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's very sensible to go around saying things like that, and there's been situations where I have been in where people have done that to me. Because, again, I've been out for a while. I'm jaded to the world. like, people have done that to me, and the person has not reacted well, and they've, you know, they've went round and they've spread it to other people.
Yeah, it's like, what people don't actually appreciate at all is that it's not particularly actually safe.
Yeah,
especially to openly share that information.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there that commit hate crime.
Sometimes,
very simply.
Oh.
Statistically, it's on the rise in this country, specifically for trans hate crime.
Amazing.
I read recently all other categories of hate crime are decreasing, apart from trans hate.
Oh man, really?
See, I read that gay hate crime was on the up as well.
There's probably a couple of different studies.
Everybody's just very angry.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But it's not safe, basically.
Mm.
So if you out somebody without their permission... to another person, you have absolutely no idea what that other person thinks about trans people.
Especially if you're introducing this trans person to somebody, it's because it's likely a situation where you've also just met them.
Yes.
Like, you don't know somebody's kind of ideologies, what they're thinking in their head. Like, even then, like, if it's the kind of situation where they've never met a trans person before, it's likely that maybe you haven't actually spoke about it with them before, so you don't know kind of what they're thinking, even if you have known them for a while, because it's not really a topic that comes up in conversation for other people, I feel like.
Definitely.
I feel like people aren't just really sat there talking about trans people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't think people are sat there talking about trans people, like, very often, unless it's kind of specifically brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just don't really know what kind of people are out there. You don't know what views are going to be around.
Yeah, very simply, it's just, it's not safe, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And obviously, being trans is a very significant major thing for us. So if we do choose that to share that with somebody, we'd like to do that ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And then as well, I feel like even if the person didn't react badly, some people just don't like to share that about themselves.
Right. Anecdotally, I've gone for drinks with some friends at points, mm-hmm. And met some new friends of friends there. Mm-hmm. The very first thing I said to one of these new friends that I'm meeting, what was said to me was, "Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, but I apologize if I get your pronouns wrong after I've had a couple of drinks or something."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoever's introduced me to you in conversation in the past, however I've been brought up, has clearly been as a trans woman.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't make that comment about potentially getting pronouns wrong anyway.
Yeah.
So that, while it was fine, and the person was fine, and they meant well,
mm-hmm.
still a bit that's kind of still, awkward.
Yeah, for that to be my first interaction with this person was a huge shock.
Yeah, like a whole forewarning of, "Oh, sorry if I make you very uncomfortable.
I know your secret, by the way."
"I know what you did last summer."
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
That kind of
so
thing.
So it's just not something you do. You don't share that.
Yeah, because, like, again, just, like, some people don't, like, want to kind of have that out there in the world. Like, when I kind of was first coming out, I felt quite awkward about it, and I didn't really like people knowing. I was kind of starting at a new college. I was just coming from a school where I was actually quite bullied for being trans as well. So I didn't really want that information kind of out at the college as well.
Because
obviously I'd had quite a bad experience. So if that was something that would have happened to me then, you know, like I felt quite private about it. It's just not something I really wanted to share with people, even though I knew the people who were there and that they'd probably be quite nice and not bothered. I still just kind of felt uncomfortable with people knowing. It is a bit like, "Oh, somebody knows my secret. Somebody knows the inner workings of my brain. Like, they're in my mind," like that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, the next one is always a really annoying one. Overreacting if someone makes a mistake.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I suppose that wraps on to what I'd mentioned with this other person that I met.
Yes, it does.
They didn't end up making a mistake, for what it's worth. But typically, a mistake does usually come with an overreaction, or what we identify as an overreaction.
Yeah.
"Oh my God, I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
"Oh my God."
Yeah.
Yeah, the same colleague who asked me about the surgery. She would constantly get my pronouns wrong and then immediately go like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm like,
"Just use the right one. Just shut up.
Just stop it. Don't do that.
If you delete all of this time of you apologizing and making a big fuss out of yourself, you could have just used the right pronouns 16 times over.
Yeah, like I would say a good example of if somebody, you know, slip-ups do happen.
They do.
Especially if it's somebody that you've known for a long time.
Yeah, because you're just used to obviously using those
words. Yeah, it's just like force of habit, really. Mm-hmm. But if you just kind of go like, "Sorry," and then correct yourself and then just move on from the conversation. It puts because it's quite self-indulgent, I feel. Like if someone's sat there like, "Oh my God, sorry," obviously then it becomes about them. You kind of have to coddle them and comfort them when realistically you're the one who's just been made to feel quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one who's just had something, albeit a mistake, it's still a bit of a...
I don't know about you, but it feels like a cannonball in my stomach anytime that happens.
Yeah.
And then it keeps sinking if the person is apologizing.
Yeah, no, I get that, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm quite grateful I don't really get that anymore. I got a text with my dead name on it the other day from somebody and I was like, "Who's that?" Like, my immediate thought was like, they've got the wrong number. Like, I've not heard it in so long. But no, I'm quite thankful. But like, you know, occasionally maybe something will happen by accident. Mm. You know, if say I've got a friend who's just been hanging around with loads of girls recently and then they come around me, they just say like, "She," out of habit. It's not necessarily about me. It's just the fact that they've been hanging out with loads of lasses. Right.
Yeah, it's like when I talk about our cat and then I immediately go back to talking about you and then I misgender you.
Because
like
the cat's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you've just been like in the flow of talking about a girl. and that kind of thing. But again, just like, sorry, correct yourself, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as you don't make a big deal out of it, it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, just apologize once and move on, and that's literally the end of it. It won't ever be brought up again.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think it has,
because we do understand. As you said, these things do happen, so it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never experienced the next one. Don't make it about you if someone comes out to you.
Yeah. I found. I don't know if you two kind of came out when you were like kids or adults.
Adults.
well.
Unfortunately.
As someone who came out a bit like as a bit of a. Like, I was quite young when I came out. I found that, like, sometimes family and things like that would turn around and they'd be like, well, I'm grieving the loss of this child.
Yeah.
That I've had. You have to give me time to get used to things. And I was kind of thinking, like, well, everybody's acting like I've died. They're saying that they have to grieve the loss of this child. But, like, I kind of feel alive for the first time in my entire life.
Yes, it's an extremely strange thing. I unfortunately was the recipient of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm lucky then.
You are lucky.
Very, very much the. In fact, I came out as a transgender woman, and I got the lovely message of "You'll always be me, son."
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, don't make it about you.
Yeah.
Not
basically
great. Yeah.
as long as you go, oh, that's cool, I'll help and support you if you want, but otherwise I'm not gonna get involved.
Yeah, like another thing that I kind of had was people being like, I need time to process this is big news to me. And it is big news, and it can come as a shock, especially if you haven't really been paying that much attention, or maybe you don't really notice those kinds of things. But it's not about you. There's somebody
is.
There who's shared a very sensitive piece of information. Like, they kind of need a bit of comfort. That
very vulnerable
okay.
as well in that moment to come out is.
Oh yeah,
it's extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, it can be quite emotional. It's probably something they've been thinking about maybe for a while.
Yeah.
Like, they've probably been fretting over what kind of reaction they're gonna get. So when all of a sudden you're kind of sat there like, oh well, me, it's a bit.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. It's a bit, like, disheartening as well, I think, to not receive that kind of comfort that maybe you're searching for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Because I think what is obviously important to say is that, you know, a lot of the time, if you come out to somebody, it's somebody that you trust, somebody that you want to know.
Yeah.
Especially if it's kind of like family, things
definitely.
Like that.
Yeah. So to hear a reaction like that... Me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to, I'm spend so much time dealing with this. Oh, this will impact me.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, not great. And the last one is to just believe that people are who they say they are.
Yeah. I put this one in because I got it as a suggestion online. I was kind of asking around people that I know, being like, what kind of would you say is a bad example of what to do when people come out to you? And some people say that, like, maybe if they've been, say, quite a quote-unquote girly girl, and then all of a sudden they come out as a trans man, people are going like, oh, are you sure you're not just, like, a lesbian? Or are you sure that you're not just a tomboy? Are you sure you're not just this?
Right. Like,
yeah. Like, people kind of try and maybe find a little bit of a way around it.
Like, oh, you're not a trans woman. You're just a confused gay man.
Yeah. Like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I do think it's a bit more of an issue with trans women, is that people are like, are you sure you're not just gay? Are you sure you're not just a drag queen?
Like, which is also another thing that I feel tends to happen a lot, the conflation of sexual identity with gender identity.
Mm.
Because, say, being a trans woman doesn't automatically mean that I like men.
That is true.
Now, if I do, that's up to me.
But that's a completely different issue.
That's between you and the men.
Not automatic. And personally, I mean, I have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. So, at least for me, obviously that's not true. So to hear things like that, people just coming up with, literally just random inventing.
Excuses. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the spot.
It's like kind of like trying to find a way around, like, here's how you can not be trans, but still be this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's how we can rationalize this without actually you being transgender.
Yeah.
Which is not fun to hear at all.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like, oh, what you are saying is the worst.
Trans.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like what you are saying is the worst case scenario.
Yes. Yeah, like, I'm not prepared to deal with this right now. Can we assign something else?
Yeah. Like a compromise.
Yes.
Compromising my gender.
Can we negotiate what you're doing here?
Not negotiating a deal. God, imagine.
Awful.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I'm lucky, at least personally, that I haven't come across that. But yeah, that's definitely something I'm familiar with. Reading a lot online.
Yeah, I'm quite.
I see that happen.
I'm quite fortunate that I haven't had that personally. It was just kind of like a suggestion of like I was asking around people.
Oh yeah, there's tons. Think about the negative experiences that people have in households that aren't necessarily safe environments.
Yeah.
Because all we've really spoken about here are what happens when it goes well. It doesn't always go well.
Definitely not.
That is true.
So that's definitely something to cover in a future episode.
Absolutely. Story for another time.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it basically just comes down to if somebody trusts you enough to come out to you, then better believe what they're saying because they mean it and it's genuine and comes from a place of trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exceptionally important that you take people at their word and what they're saying.
Well, yeah, because then
with that,
like, even if in the future it ends up not being that, it doesn't really matter.
And it's also still the individual that has to come to that conclusion.
Yeah,
nobody
like
else can do that on their behalf.
Yeah, like, it's not your journey to kind of go on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine if I went to you and I just went, you shouldn't have black hair.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's a bit akin to that.
I mean, yeah.
Like, are you sure you don't want blonde?
Very judgy, very judgmental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was what not to do in terms of trans people. There's a lot of interesting stuff there, so if you want to learn more, be sure to tune in next time. Follow us on our socials at BTransNB and come along for the next episode where we're discussing trans slang.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.